For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, how far is too far to push your players?
It was 0-0, but we had to leave by 3:30.
We'll hear from the forfeiting manager and his believers. I will never say that again. Plus, a new day as the Wanderer returns here on the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. Let's bring in the team. He's PR man with Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues, which always makes me laugh because every time I go to write Ryman League, it comes up as Remain League. So let's perhaps not talk about that. Dave the Coughwaters.
Oh, good afternoon from
your bed.
My hospital bed.
Are you actually broadcasting from bed?
No, I'm not. I'm in my office. I just apologise to everyone if I start having a little cough. I've had bad man flu for 2 weeks now. I can't shake. Thank you to my daughters.
Yeah, hands up anyone that's bothered. Nope.
No. Including anyone at my end, believe me.
Next up, our guest, as always, the last time he coughed was in a lineup, former manager at AFC Wimbledon and around 52 other non-league clubs, Dave Anderson.
Good evening, or afternoon, or morning. I ain't really sure. I was going to say that I have had a referee say to me once, what did you say, Dave? Did you say you had a bad cough? Because he'd sort of misheard what I'd said to him.
I can't even begin to imagine what you said to him. Being such an honest sort as I am and not knowing that type of language. Dave Watters, let's quickly hit off with you then, seeing as you are near death. A couple of good stories. I'm not meaning that I will.
You hope.
A couple of good stories from you this week. In the Evo Stick Southern, we've got the chairman of North Lee handing over his cupgate to the losers. And then a story kind of breaking over the past few hours about Sheffield, the oldest club in the world, and UNESCO status.
That's right, yeah. I was astounded by this one, actually, yesterday. I think it actually happened on Monday. It was the 159th anniversary on Monday of Sheffield FC, as we all know, being founded and, you know, as the oldest football club in the world, officially recognised by FIFA and the FA, etc. And now they want to be recognised by the United Nations and UNESCO. They want to join the Taj Mahal, the Great Barrier Reef, the Grand Canyon, Hadrian's Wall, and the, I think, over 800 other sites around the globe that are listed as World Heritage Sites by UNESCO. And it's a clever PR campaign, as usual, by Sheffield, who are known for it.
Not just a PR campaign, though, if they genuinely think this could happen. And I guess, why shouldn't it, if that's the birthplace of football?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's they were publishing pictures this week of their chairman, Richard Timms, you know, at Olive Grove. This is the ground, the ground in the city where they first started, where the first ever game of football was ever played. And they do actually want to leave Dronford and move back there in the next few years. And they're hoping that the publicity, that's what I should have said, around this UNESCO bid will help them, you know, in grant aid and maybe have some well-wishers come forward with funds to help them move back. But, you know, I don't see why they shouldn't get it. And, you know, good luck to them.
Well, it's all changed at AFC Telford after the supporters voted to transfer the shares of the trust back to the football club. Steve Bowie is from the trust and joins us now. Hiya, Steve.
How you doing?
Yeah, we're all right. What about you then? Why the change? What's happened?
Yeah, it's been an interesting few weeks, really. Obviously, unfortunately, cash flow situation meant that there wasn't going to be a club before too long if we didn't make change. It is with a heavy heart because obviously the supporters trust has owned the football club for 12 years now. But when it comes to that or there not being a club, then you've got to make a decision.
You say it's a shame. What will actually happen? Because theoretically, fans can still be involved in the club, can't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And to be honest, the future of the trust, I hope, will be a strong one. But that ultimately is down to whether members want to be members, you know, whether they want to have a supporters trust. There was definitely a growing feeling that, you know, that unfortunately the fans ownership model as it was had come to its end, really. We had an AGM last year which meant that members of the trust actually voted that we'd look at different ownership models. That was an ongoing process, and I'd say unfortunately the cash flow situation meant that had to be quickened up, so to speak. So Yeah, we had the SGM on Monday night. We'd recommended a two-fold proposal, really, that that the supporters trust sell all their shares back to the football club, and obviously the football club then will issue £500,000 worth of shares to either investors or fans as well. So it's important to mention that it's not just businesses that are going to be investing. We do hope that it's going to be fans as well.
We know you've got to catch a train, so we won't keep you too long. But I wonder, Dave Anderson, whether your ears pricked up at that about the fan ownership model not working.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Kaz, I think it might be the first time this has happened. And my fear is, Steve, that, you know, in the position that you're in now, that you're now handing back your beloved club to be sold out to, we're not even sure where it's going to go now.
Yeah, we are and we're not. I mean, we're putting in as many kind of controls in place as possible to have a balanced outlook on it. I think the issue we've got really is that if you look at other fan-owned clubs, they either had a year to set up or they are very different in terms of their makeup. Whereas we were set up literally over the space of weeks, and we were accepted into what was the Unibond 1 at that time. And to be honest, a lot of the governance and structure and everything wasn't really set up correctly. And we're probably, you know, feeling the pain from that, and we have been for a few years. The nature of our ownership model historically has been very much, if fans come, great. If they stop coming for whatever reason, then we struggle. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, we have seen crowds drop from, you know, 2,500, 2,000, and now averaging just over 1,000. So, you know, it doesn't take kind of rocket scientists to work out that we're only getting kind of half the money we were when 2,000 fans are coming.
Yeah.
Waters, I know you had a phone call coming in then. Was it someone with some divine inspiration?
Sorry about that, Steve. Unfortunately, that was my son. He obviously wants something. But it is interesting what Dave said. I think you are the first club that's kind of taken a step backwards with the supporter ownership. What about the money that the fans put into the club originally and stuff? How does it all work? Are the fans going to be left out of pocket, the people that sort of came to the club's rescue originally?
Not especially. I mean, obviously, that's 12 years ago. You know, in 2 weeks, we raised £60,000, and obviously that went into setting up the football club from scratch. I mean, when I say from scratch, I remember I drove to Tesco's to get some water for the first training session and, you know, buy the balls and stuff. So it was very much from scratch. And as I say, because, you know, you look at the likes of Hereford and obviously FC Wimbledon, it's very much a different makeup in terms of their structure. They've got investors as well. And unfortunately, the way we set up was probably because we were one of the first ones to do it, meant that it was much more, right, fans will own £1. But of course, when you're speaking to an investor and they want to put in £10,000, they will expect £10,000 worth of reward. So, I mean, the limitations we've put on there is that, you know, £500,000 will be issued in terms of the share issue. We will honour any fan that wants to purchase shares up to £5,000. So that will be in its entirety. And then any major investors, you know, there will be some due diligence done on them to ensure that they are the right sort of people to be investing. And, you know, we have had significant interest from both people that are involved with the club and, you know, people that know the club, but also outside as well, since we made the announcement. So we're very hopeful that those shares will be sold in due course.
Steve, we'll let you get on that train now, but will you keep an eye on everything and let us know how it goes?
Absolutely, yeah, we'll do.
All right, Steve. So thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us on the show. Steve Bowie down at AFC Telford. I mean, I didn't want to jump all over you boys, as I always do, but yeah, it's something similar that's happened at Chelmsford City over the past couple of months as well, to try and says the wolf whistle, to try and allow some sort of investment out or investment in. And I guess, Dave Anderson, we've seen it work with fans, but it is trying to match that, fans holding on to a club so no one dodgy, and I'm not saying that's happening in either of these cases, that no one dodgy can come in, but you can safeguard your club, you can look after your ground, but also, actually, you've got to attract that investment to see your club grow.
Well, I think you do, and Telford is a big club. We've been there, Kaz, with the AGM there, didn't we, at the start of last season, if I remember right. But, you know, my fear, I always look upon the manager side of it, you know, and the dressing room side of it. How long can they sustain the budget they've got at the moment? You know, what happens when they sell it back to someone else? That can, it can, you can put some safety valves in place, but as a football manager, you'd be panicking about what's coming next, you know, and all you want is, you want it so you know exactly what your budget is, so your players are comfortable with what they're doing, and you move forward, and you always try and keep the dressing room away from the politics of the football club. But at periods like this, it's very, very difficult, you know. And have they as a football club become too big for what they are now?
At Non-League Show, for your thoughts on that, where are we with a supporters-owned model? This is at the point we should try and get supporters direct on, or Kevin Ryer as well. But how have things changed? What is the future model for football clubs too? At Non-League Show, for your thoughts. Yes, Waters?
No, sorry. I was just thinking that the model isn't dead. You know, you mentioned Kevin there, our old friend for supporters direct, but it needs to change for some certain clubs, like you mentioned your own one and Telford. And it's this thing about, like Dave says, about growing and, you know, do you need, you know, bigger investors, outside people to come in?
Yeah.
If you want to do something special? And I suppose there are limitations if you're just relying on your fans.
Let us know your thoughts then. Join us on social media at Non-League Show. Well, another week, another set of changes in the management structure. Dave has become our director of football. Yeah, silence.
Really?
No. No changes for us yet. There might be if Waters continues. Jamie Day is back, though. The former Braintree Ebbsfleet boss and number two at Forest Green has gone back to where it all started for him in management, Welling United. And Welling manager Mark Goldberg joins us now. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, good afternoon.
So why bring Jamie back? I mean, when you see the success he had at Welling, you can see why you did.
Yes, I mean, he certainly has Welling in his heart, and I certainly need some assistance in the dugout, and we're hoping that it's a good fit.
He was such a great success last time. I wonder at the time whether that was down to the fact he was player manager too. You know, these were his mates that he was working with.
Yeah, I think it's quite clear that he had his most successful years as a player manager, because he was such an influence on the pitch himself, such a leader, and such a good player. And I think there are areas where, you know, he would say himself that he lacked in terms of experience as a manager per se. When he went to Ebbsfleet and obviously on to Forest Green as a number two and then Braintree as a manager, his success was limited. But at the same time, you know, it does take time to build a squad of players that, you know, when he went to Ebbsfleet, there were players there that possibly weren't his players, and he would have needed more time to rebuild a squad of players that suited the way that he wanted to play. And again, at Braintree, he didn't really have much time as a manager to affect Braintree the way he wanted to affect them. So I think he's been a bit unfortunate, but I think together, hopefully I can bring a bit of experience, and certainly he'll bring what I'm not bringing to the table at the moment, which is the sort of discipline and focus that I was able to bring when I was concentrating on the management job at Bromley. But now, as owner of Welling and manager, I'm finding it very difficult to do the complete job, and certainly I'm not doing it well enough at the moment.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, Mark, people would say that it's in the normal circumstances for a manager to bring in a next manager who was successful at the club, to bring him in as an assistant isn't something you would do every day. It would be a brave decision, I would say, in normal circumstances, because you're bringing someone in that, if it doesn't go well for you, he's ready to replace you. But obviously in your position as the owner of the club as well, it all makes sense. How was he about it when you spoke to him?
Well, interestingly enough, Dave, f- 4 or 5 years ago, I approached Jamie about coming to work with me at Bromley. And, you know, so it's not, you know, our communication has been good over the years, and, you know, there's been respect there, mutual respect there. So, and the fact that he was available now, potentially when I first got involved at Welling, if Jamie had been available, then I would have looked to have recruited him in earlier. So I think there's respect there. He's got the love for the club. There's no doubt that I'm not doing the complete job at the moment, although I don't want to dismantle what I have done. You know, it has taken this long to put a squad together of players that I think are finally fit for purpose. And we're starting to play a lot better, but we're just not getting the points on the board. And I think Jamie coming in will give certain focus to aspects of what we all know are required around the dressing room in training, that I'm just not doing well enough. And hopefully as a partnership, he can benefit from what we've built so far, and hopefully from some of the experience that I've had over the years. And certainly we believe that Jamie's going to be a massive asset to me and the club.
Dave Waters.
Hi, Mark. I was just thinking how refreshing that was to hear you, you know, speak about you know, your own struggles at the moment. And I'm sure with or without Jamie, you would get through them. But you think you're going to make a good partnership then? And can you tell us a little bit more? You tried to get Jamie to join you a few years back as well. Was that when he was at Welling, or he was working at the time, I take it?
He was working at Welling. Many, you know, I think he hadn't quite gone on the run that he went on to take them to the national to the national league. But we were, you know, Bromley. I was basically selling to him that Bromley had the potential to go to the Football League, and that together we could go there, you know, as a team. And that, you know, and then he had the most wonderful year and took Welling. He decided to stay for his love for the club, which I respected, and obviously for the fact that he believed he could do it himself, and he did. So, but over the years, I think, you know, we've kept communicating, and there's been certain players that he's wanted that I had that, you know, that are now, you know, for example, Danny Waldron, he tried to take from me at Bromley to Welling. And now we're, you know, it's quite fitting that we're together, and Danny is a main player for us this year.
Mark. I was going to say, you coach as well, don't you? So you're both going to be working together on the training pitch together, aren't you? It's not a sort of a manager coach relationship. You're both going to be working together, aren't you, to improve your squad?
We are, but I think that I'm going to have to take more of a back seat on the coaching side. But the players, it's just purely the time. I mean, I want Jamie to take more control on the coaching side.
Will he become manager?
And obviously myself, you know, I will be there for him, and I will oversee certain things and give it, shall we say, it'll be very much a joint effort. But I've recruited the players in, and I want Jamie to bring to the party what I'm just not able to give because of my time commitments. It's not just time commitments. That, you know, he's got skills that I don't have. I mean, you know, even in business life, I've been able to surrounded myself with the right team, I've been far more successful than when I've tried to do it on my own. And this is just, you know, a realism that, you know, I've got an interest to take Welling as, first of all, out of the current situation. But in the long term, you know, we want to progress as a club and move up the leagues as a club. And there's no way I can do all the jobs that are required to be done on my own. I need a good team around me. And I think Jamie will really complement what I believe I can also bring to the football side of things, not just off the field.
Just a couple more questions. I know, Dave Anderson, you've got one more, but just from me, so what stage, Mark? It sounds like you're saying that he'll become manager and you'll permanently move upstairs, or do you think that won't happen?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think there's a massive difference between first team coach and manager. I believe that there's a management role which I can fulfill, but to do both first team coach and manager is a very difficult job to do, especially when you're also running the club. When I say running the club, directing the club and setting up new revenue streams for the club off the field.
Yeah.
So for me to do it all is nigh on. I've got to admit it to myself. I'm spreading myself too thin and not doing the job that is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a football club, and we're not performing at the moment. Although we are improving, you know, we are building, and I'm still confident that we will avoid a relegation fight at the end of the year. But I certainly think with Jamie's help, we can really build the foundations to move forward together. So I'm not saying, though, that I won't be looking in the long term to step upstairs, Caroline, because when the time's right, I do want to put an infrastructure in place that that I can make that move, and that transition will be a smooth one. But I'm just in the initial instance, it will be Jamie as first team coach and myself as manager. But there's no doubt that in the future, that I believe that Jamie can fulfil that role of manager, first team coach, and have a team around him in the future. And I'll have no problem with that when the time's right. Yeah. But I don't believe the time's right now. I think we can still learn from each other and help the club progress as a management team together.
Final question then, Dave. Make it a good one.
Yeah. No, to be fair, what I would like to say, Kaz, before that is that it's been a very, very honest interview from Mark, as always, it has to be said. But I've really appreciated his honesty. And my honesty back to you, Mark, would be that in that period where you're both working together, you as the manager and Jamie as the first team coach, then it has to be spelt out properly. Otherwise, there becomes confusion in the dressing room as to who's actually in charge, and of course you'll know that. But is that something you look at? If you know, as you work together now, it has to be clear for the players who is the gaffer and who is the coach. And if that changes down the road, so be it.
It is really clear, Dave, because I recruited all the players. They came on board because of the relationship that I have with them or had with them in the past, and we all recognise that at the end of the day, I will pick the team, but I will pick the team with the help and advice of Jamie. And the way that we want to play, well, you know, there is a system that I play, but it's very fortunate that Jamie likes to play a similar way. So, and Jamie will most certainly have an input, and we'll make decisions in the end together. But you're absolutely right. There will be clear lines, and the players will know that, and they already do. We made that introduction last night. And I think it's a formula that potentially could work extremely well. But obviously time will tell, and I don't expect that there's going to be an immediate change in fortune. It will be a gradual one, but I do believe that we'll push up to a respectable position in the league, and that will be a successful first year for me at Wedding.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark, for coming on the show as always. We wish you all the best of luck, and we'll catch up with you later in the season.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Cheers, Mark. Mark Goldberg joining us on the non-league show. I could hear you both wanting to jump in, both of you.
Yeah.
I know, and I cruelly
fair,
cut
Kaz,
you off.
No, I was just going to say, Kaz, that you know, it's also a big appointment for Jamie Day, because you know, he's success at Welling, and he's now had three or four different moves that, for one reason or another, haven't been successful. And this is now a big appointment for him to turn that side of his career around again. Because, and I think
are you saying it's his last chance?
Well, I think he's a good lad. I think he does his job well. But you can't get three or four things wrong and then keep moving forward. And for whatever reason, it hasn't gone right for him at sort of Ebbsfleet, Braintree. He left Forest Green as well, I think, off the top of my head. This now has to stabilise his career as well, in my opinion.
I love how you said off the top of your head, or you could have just said, as you told me, Caroline, about 10 minutes ago when we started this interview.
Yeah, but listen, the big bonus for me is I actually remembered you told me.
That was so funny, it's made Waters cough. Welling, of course, just for those that don't know, our second bottom.
I just, last thought for me, from the way that he was talking about Jamie and himself, I think it sounds like a partnership that, you know, cliche, made in heaven, it could be, actually. They could really dovetail really well.
Sure.
Best of luck.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, including luck, seeing as not just the cough that's deteriorating for Waters, it's the line too. We might let Dave Waters go now. Dave, thank you as always.
Thank you, Caroline. I will go and get a Lemsip, and I'm sorry if, sorry to everyone listening to this week's podcast for my nasal tones.
It feels like a confessional, but then again, it does every week with Dave Waters. David Waters departing us on the non-league show. Dave Anderson's
get
still
well.
With us, hopefully. Off he goes into the ether. I was just going to say that Welling, second bottom of the National South at the moment. What's that? Two wins in their last 10. So, bit of pressure on Jamie, bit of pressure on Mark Goldberg as well, down at Welling in the National South. Now then, Dave Anderson, here's a question for you. How far would you go to teach your players a lesson?
To the end of the road, it has to be said.
That's just mainly because you won't walk that far. Take a listen to this.
Listen. You know we tried, but we had to leave for JB.
It was 0-0, but we had to leave by 3:30.
We only won because of David and the referee.
Need one more shot at forgiveness.
You know I know, baby, we only make these mistakes once or twice.
I don't know how much more of that you can take. That's Woodley United's Jake Nichols and Josh Drew singing being a loose term, along to some Justin Bieber. Why? Well, let's get their manager on to explain. Michael Herbert joins us now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Caroline.
So why have you punished them or humiliated them by getting them to sing Bieber?
So basically, the week before, we were playing St. Chamstead, an away game, really tough away game, and it was 0-0 at half-time. And they both had to leave at half time to go to a Justin Bieber concert.
What? That's instant red card, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, cards, this is the day football died. This is the end of the game as I know it. I can't believe it. Tell me it's not true.
It is true. This is Jake Nichols and Josh Drew then Michael. So they they warn you, I take it, beforehand that they were going to go at half-time?
Yeah, they gave me a couple of weeks' notice, and I was trying to talk them around. They didn't tell me, actually, it was a Justin Bieber concert. I had to find out that for myself. It was an event to start with. And then I got it out of them, it was a Justin Bieber concert. So then, that's why the punishment came in.
Because this was a big game, wasn't it? This was against your local rivals, Finch.
Yeah, very big game. But I found in the last couple of years of managing that priorities sometimes change at our level, that sometimes if girlfriends get involved or Justin Bieber concerts get involved, sometimes the players' priorities are a little bit in different directions.
So we should explain that the level you're playing at then.
Yeah, so we're step 6 in the Hellenic Division 1 East.
Which I'm still saying is a high enough level for them not to leave for a Bieber concert.
You'd think so.
Go on, Dave.
I would think so as well, Michael. All I would say is brilliant that you've got them in front of the lads to do the rap or the song or whatever you want to say. But I sincerely hope they're both 30 goals a season people. Otherwise, they'd be down the road if they were at my football club.
Yeah, one of them's actually our joint captain. So, he's been told off.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just told off, this is told off in style. But this isn't the first forfeit you've done. You've got quite a habit of doing these forfeits, haven't you?
Yeah, it's just something we like to do. We have a quite intense build-up to the game. Me and my coach and staff are quite intense with what we ask them to do. So it's just something to relax the players and bring a bit of fun to it as well. So we just do, every player does a song a different week, and they choose the player for the next week. So it's a little bit of fun that we introduced this year.
Well, the good news is you went on to win it, didn't you? Win the game.
Yeah, we went on to win 1-0, and the substitutions provided more luck than they did in the first place. So it was a good decision in the end.
Leave them out for the following week. Go on, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, in all seriousness, when you when you're managing at a lower level, and I have managed at the level, Michael, so I understand it, is you really have to take all these things on board, and you know, lads don't get paid lots of money if they get paid at all for it. So the balance and the camaraderie in your dressing room is everything, and when these things come up, you have to manage them, and I think Michael's done that.
Michael, you are well worth a follow on social media. So if people want to see this video or they want to see more of your forfeits, how do they follow you?
Instagram and also Twitter, Michael Herbert 16, I think.
And you're on Twitter as Michael Herbie 12. And we'll play out with the boys. Don't tell them we did that. And thanks, Michael, for coming on.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks,
take care.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Is it too late now to say sorry? Because we... When we sing JB for nobody. Oh, is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, we know that we let you down. Is it too late to say sorry? Now let's go.
It would, to coin a phrase that you like to use, to be fair to them, Dave, it seems like it's got the spirit going, at least with the team.
To be fair, I've actually heard worse Justin Bieber records. But no, brilliant. It's brilliant. And, you know, in all the levels you manage at, dressing room, the dressing room's everything. But your best dressing rooms tend to be at the lower levels because you when you start paying money, and it's all part of the game all the way to the top, it changes a little bit. But when you're genuinely in it for no reason other than you're to play football with your mates, they are the best dressing rooms. And that one sounds like fun, to be fair.
If you have one of those forfeits you'd like to share, me too, my personal home videos of Dave Anderson, I'll share those as well at Non-League Show.
I think you might want to explain that one.
Yeah, let's not. Let's just leave it there.
Let's leave it hanging, yeah.
So to speak. Right, back to one of Dave's old clubs now. I feel like I say that every week, Dave. And
you do?
Yeah, I do. He's got that many. It's your turn to introduce our next guest. Do you want to?
Okay. Taking over from a very successful manager at a club that's doing all right and are now in the first round of the FA Cup. One of my old players, actually, an old assistant, Stephen Baker, who goes by the name of Steve.
That's not a bad introduction, is it, Steve?
Well, less of the old, but apart from that, he's all right. He's a lot older than me.
Yeah, he's a lot older than all of us. That's why he doesn't mention it. Steve, we've got you on as although that was a succinct, perfect introduction, we've got you on then to talk ahead of the first round of the FA Cup, which you did mention, Dave, so plaudits for you for that. Northampton away then, their website, plug-in tickets, left, right and centre. It's a small match, this one, eh?
Yeah, it's just another round in the cup. That's the way that we're going to look at it. I wish. There's lots of cliches every year around this time, and rightly so. It's a level that we all dream of to get to, and it's a game that we all dream of. You hope that if you do get to the first round, that you get any league club, whether that be home or away. Personally, I would have preferred home because I think you have a slightly better chance. But my chairman was delighted because it was away, which means he doesn't have to do anything. obviously we're absolutely delighted with the draw, and the one thing we've said to the boys already is, yes, we want to go and enjoy it, and it wants to be a good day out, but I don't want it just to be about that. I actually want us to go there and try and do everything we can to win the game. I think so many clubs get to that level and it's about, oh, let's enjoy the day and this and that. Well, we'll enjoy the day if we get a result. So we're taking it as seriously as any league game that we got, and hopefully on the day, if we can catch him on a slightly off day and we're on it, who knows?
Go on, Dave.
No, I'm delighted for the club and Steve. You know, I've been to the first round. Well, Steve was with me actually at Hendon. We went to Blackpool in the first of the second round, Steve. But and they are days that you remember. And I remember in the first game at Blackpool, we were unlucky not to get something. But when you're going into a game like this, have you done your homework? Have you had them watched? Have you... What's been the build-up on the staff side of it?
Well, to be honest, and I'm not going to make out, I know anything about Northampton Town at the moment because I don't. Obviously, we only knocked Margate out last Tuesday, and then off the back of that, we've had a league game Saturday and last night, which has been the main focus because the league is the most important thing to us. However, the work will now start for Northampton. We're going to watch them on Saturday. They're at home. And someone I know at another League One club has kindly agreed to send us over some video analysis for us to have a look at, which is great because obviously at high level we don't really get stuff like that. You might get someone record a game on their phone or a video camera, but that's probably about as far as it goes. But no, we'll be doing the homework on them. I'll be speaking to one or two other people that I've managed to get to know in the last year or so at that level. And we'll obviously take on every bit of advice that we can get. And we'll make sure that we go there 100% prepared and the homework's completely done.
And sorry, Kaz, I was just going to say as well, I'm always worried. You spoke about the league and it being the most important thing, and I think you're spot on. And I always worried when you get to cup runs like this that attention can be diverted away from the league form. Well, how have you, I suppose with the lads, you've tried to keep the FA Cup game as far away from them as possible, Steve?
Yeah, we've done a couple of things. Like we've had a little bit of a laugh about it to a certain extent, that if anyone mentions either Northampton Town or the FA Cup, they get fined every time it's mentioned. So that's probably cost me £4. And what we've also done, as most clubs at our level do, the players do get a bonus for getting through FA Cup rounds, because obviously we've made quite a bit of money so far. But what we've done is any bonus we've put through, we've included it in the next league game as well. So just to maybe give them that extra little bit of focus. And I mean, we've been on quite a good run up till last night anyway. We was 8 unbeaten in all competitions. And I think what helps as well, and you don't want to mention it, but they've all got that game on their mind. And it's only natural that would happen. And the one thing we've said is, if that's what you are thinking about, then there's only one way to get yourself inside. And to be fair, since we've got on a good run, the boys have played really, really well. And even last night, although it was our first defeat in 8, we played really, really well last night, and we was a little bit unfortunate. So, yeah, he's trying to keep them focused, but to be fair to them, so far they've done that really well without us having to push them too much.
Yeah, the Isthmian League is a tough league to get out and up from as well. Just interested for both of you, as someone that's never managed or played in an FA Cup match, funnily enough, although I've obviously sat and puffed on the sidelines enough times. How do you, Steve, then, as a manager, when you close your eyes at night, stop yourself from dreaming and thinking about it?
I don't. It's a simple answer. again, I'd be a liar if I say I didn't think about it. Of course I do. You think about your games 24/7, and before the Margate game, you're continually thinking, what if, what if, what if? And I actually thought on the Saturday when we drew at home, I thought we'd maybe missed our chance. But I think you then go in with that belief, well, who knows, we could turn them over. And it's difficult to stop yourself thinking about it, because that's what we all play the game for. I was fortunate as a player to play in the first round 2 or 3 times as well. And I tried to pass that on to the lads, that if we were to get there, it will be something that you'll remember forever. And if we were to go there and cause an upset, you make yourself heroes at our level. So, yeah, it's difficult not to stop thinking about it, but we've just got to keep positive and as I say, we'll go there and enjoy the day.
That's the nightmare of having so long between rounds as well, isn't it? And like you say, when you've got to refocus on the league too. Steve, delighted that we could get you on to wind you up even further. Good luck, and we'll talk to you after you've beaten them, all right?
Yeah,
and to be fair, Steve, I think I'm still on the bonuses somewhere anyway.
I think if we win it, Dave, you come back as manager. if we were fortunate enough to get through, you'll be my first phone call. Don't worry about that.
Steve Baker, he actually meant to me, Dave, not to you.
I thought Dave was gone. Sorry.
Steve, go enjoy it, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Caroline. Cheers, Dave.
Steve down at Harrow. That's a club, obviously, you know Steve well, the club that you managed at too, Dave. Is there a bit of you that thinks, is that the one thing that could draw you back into it?
Oh, that's a good question. I think when it's a game like Northampton away in the FA Cup, you'd be a fool not to want to be involved in it, because as much as Steve, and he's absolutely right in saying, you prepare to go and don't just take it as another day out. Try and do your best. You, as a football manager, are going into the dressing room for one of the only times of the season under no pressure at all, in a big environment, a bigger dressing room, a bigger ground, bigger crowd, bigger league. for a day, and well, who wouldn't turn that down, you know? But what I would say is, yes, that would draw me back, but I would resign again Saturday night.
After winning, of course.
Oh, well, that's a different story.
Yeah, and see where you go in the next round. Dave Anson, I think we'll probably end it there because you said that was a good question, which was the first and last time in this show. So my thanks to you. My thanks to Waters, who's now sickly tucked up in bed. He's even sent me a photo. He hasn't sent me a photo. That video too will appear at Non-League Show. A reminder, if you'd like to be part of the show, you are more than welcome to join the rabble at Non-League Show on social media. You can also find us on our website, nonleaguefootballshow.com, and on there you can see a link how you can download the show and keep it on your website. You can put a little widget on there too, a widget I said, you can have that on there as well. Anything else you'd like to know, feel free to get in touch. Dave Anson, anything to add from you?
No, I've enjoyed it, and I wish David well. He sounds rough.
Yeah, you could have just texted him rather than saying it on the end of the show, but I'm sure he'll appreciate that sentiment. As always, we will see you next week. Bye bye.